radio station, your radio station, our radio station, 91.3 FM and 95.8 FM stereo.
Sawt al-Alfiyat,
voice of the millennials, with Yasin Kipi, igniting the youth.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Voice of the Millennials with myself, Yasin Kipi. As we know, last week, it's been a week now since the passing away of Maulana Ihsan Hendricks, who has played a great role in our community, and as we saw evidently from his janazah. I missed his janazah because I just flew in and I really wanted to, but when I saw some of the pictures, it was just, you know, and it showed that the impact that Maulana has had upon the Muslim community, and a very positive impact. And I think that that has made us feel the need to look at his life and look at the people he has inspired among the youth on this show tonight. And so I've brought together some young people who've you know, been connected to Maulana Ihsan Hendricks, the late Maulana Ihsan, and to talk to us about his legacy. And of course, we joined in studio by Arham al-Rahimin. That's such a nice name. And he's from Malaysia, Nasution, who lived with Maulana Ihsan for the past two years and about 4 months. And of course, he's a student at IPSA, at the International Peace College of South Africa. And of course, we have him, and we also have Muhammad Shabedin, who has been inspired, of course, the listeners will know him from the Legend Tours. But tonight, he will be talking to us a bit differently, from a different perspective. And we have Abdullah Sunday as well, Hafiz Abdullah Sunday, in studio to talk to us about his connection with Maulana. Assalamu alaikum to all of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Basil Akbaria, who is a Palestinian. He's currently in Palestine, and many people know him. And he was someone who was very close to Maulana Ihsan in Maulana's, activism for the Palestinian cause and Al-Quds Foundation, etc. But I want to start with the personal, you know, connection that Arham, you've had with Maulana Ihsan. Tell us about, you know, your experiences with Maulana Ihsan on a personal level. You studied in Egypt, then you were in Darun Najah Islamic boarding school, and then you came to a new country, South Africa, in 2016, 2.5 years ago. And you are welcomed by Maulana Ihsan. Tell us about that.
Maulana Ihsan is like a good friend to my daddy. Mm-hmm. And also a good friend to Mr. Rafiq Daoud. Mm-hmm. So both Mr. Rafiq Daoud and Maulana Ihsan, they actually invite me to come and study here. Mm-hmm. So Maulana actually put me next to his house so that I can be as close as I can, mm-hmm, to him. So every Friday, mm-hmm, I used to go to have a pre-Jumu'ah with him. Mm-hmm. And we have lunch together. And I used that advantage and that opportunity to sit with him, mm-hmm, and I asked about the question,
yes,
about the Muslim societies, about the Palestine and everything. And Maulana just like teach me and told me everything, mm-hmm, he know. And Maulana have a very good, a very deep understanding in Islam,
yeah,
not also in Islam, also in depth on global politics also. Mm-hmm. And Maulana has a good converse with people from different faiths, and Maulana also come to their level. Mm. Maulana never and ever press any other religion down, which is appreciate another religion. So I think Maulana is a very good person, and is like a jewel, like a pearl, mm-hmm, for us. For me, he's just like a great master for me, a great teacher,
yeah,
and a great mentor. Mm-hmm. He actually opened my mind and made me to think further about something that happened in this world now.
When I first met you, Arham, it was at the Shab al-Hassan Ali Nadwi event that Maulana Ihsan had, you know, put together along with Sheikh Nawal Mani and, you know, Dr. Ibrahim Musa and Mahan Mirza. They brought, you know, this expo together, or at least this event together. And I when I first met you, you were like a khadim to Maulana. You were like doing everything for him. And so I was wondering how close you must be to someone to do things for them with such love. You know, and so you became very close to Maulana in the sense that you also, you know, because we know that we knew that you were sick, and so you were there for him as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because where I come from, Brother Yasin, we must always respect and serve our master, our teacher.
Allah, okay.
That's what I. That's what they taught me. I think they taught me in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came here, I know Maulana is like a great scholar. So I must take this advantage to stay with him, to help him everything, because I believe in the barakah of Allah. If you serve and if you help your master, your teacher, Allah also will help you, and you have the barakah of that.
Absolutely. And I want to bring in Muhammad Shabidin here. You know, Maulana, you've seen Maulana Hassan. I think you're definitely older than me. And you've seen his influence in the community. How has he influenced you over the years?
Brother Yasin, firstly, shukran for the opportunity. Being able to speak on air about this great, wonderful hero of ours is indeed a privilege. Mm-hmm. Yes, my first interaction with Maulana Ihsan Hendricks was when I was still a very young man. Mm-hmm. I still think I'm a very young man. But yes, I remember I just started my first job fresh out of school. Worked for about a month, earned my first salary. And this one particular day, I was sitting in the Jummah khutbah and I was listening to Maulana Ihsan. And it was actually my first time, you know, sitting down and listening to Maulana, you know, give a khutbah, other than having listened to him on radio or clips and whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Maulana was obviously speaking about a topic that was very, very close to his heart. You know, he was speaking about the Palestinian cause.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting, you know, in that lecture, my full salary in my pocket, you know, really proud of this money that I've earned for the first time in my life. And Maulana affected me in such a profound manner that by the end of the khutbah, I had decided to take my entire salary and put it into, you know, the box towards the Palestinian cause. And, you know, I remember going home, and whilst my mother was proud of what I did, at the same time, she needed to pay my bus fare for the rest of the month. But that was the type of effect Maulana had on my heart as a very, very young man. And little did I know that a good number of years after that, I would be privileged enough to be able to enjoy a closer relationship with Maulana Ihsan, having met with Maulana and his family. And it all started when I went for Hajj. Can't remember exactly the year. And Maulana's son, Muhammad Yusuf, and his daughter, Atiya, also happened to be in Makkah that year. And Maulana came to me on the airport, and Maulana said to me, you know, you better look after my kids or else, or whatever it was, you know, in Maulana's way, you know, Maulana's character. And that is where the relationship started. And what I can say, Brother Yasin, about Maulana Ihsan, what really has stood out for me was that here was this great personality who was speaking to presidents of countries and leaders of major organizations, but yet he had the time to sit down with someone, you know, a young Muhammad, and impart advice. And, you know, that is something that I carry with me from my interactions with Maulana Ihsan.
Well, if you're listening in and you've had any personal interaction, do let us know. You can WhatsApp us on 072-238-0712. That's 072-238-0712. If you're brave enough to, you know, call us and not tear up, then you can contact us on 021-442-3530. As a young boy, since the age of 4, I was blessed to keep your company, hearing the chants you sang from the depth of your voice and heart. Wayne, Wayne al-Muslimin, Wayne al-Muslimin, Aqsana, Biyunadi, wa Salahuddin, and so many others which I've learned and still remember up to this day. That's not my post, that's the post of Abdullah Sunday, who has also been close to Maulana Ihsan Hendricks. Assalamu alaikum. Abdullah, tell us about your experience with
him. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You mentioned just now if you were brave enough and wouldn't tear up. I think that's a very, it's close at that moment, because they always say that once you lose someone in the community, or once you've been taken away from something, you only know its value once it's gone.
Yeah.
And as Muhammad has mentioned, he has been privileged being the very young person that he is. Well, I too have had that privilege being with him at the tender age of 14, 15 years old, engaging in topics with Mawlana Ahsan. And being at that age, one would think, what is it that the scholar would take, you know, time from his busy schedule to sit with a 14-year-old or 15-year-old and discuss topics at hand that is not just ripe within, you know, teenage discussions, but actually discussions of ulama and discussions of global things. So, like I've written in the post, with regards to knowing Mawlana as a Palestinian activist and as a voice for the weak and a voice for those that never had voices, knowing him from that very young age, being the teacher of my mother back at Darul, when Darul Arqam was still at the premises of the MJC, we would have a weekly, if not monthly, rally outside on the roads of Jan Smuts, and Mawlana would walk down, you know, all the students would line up. I can still clearly picture it in front of me. 4 years old, 5 years old, and Mawlana, I would see him walk down this road chanting, you know, when al-Muslimin, when al-Muslimin. And you would think that is insignificant because we are hearing the tip of South Africa and tip of Cape Town. And what does it mean to the people of Palestine? But throughout my lifetime, I've seen that what that calls have caused in the in the hearts of those far, far away, you know, the likes of Brother Basil and many others who has had Mawlana, even though they were from Palestine, how they treated him as a father, how they treated him as this big role model in their lives.
It's absolutely amazing. And you're talking about Basil Akbari, and we'll have him on the line after this break. I must admit, I mean, I'm working on a project where I'm interviewing the ulama on the senior council, the imara of the MJC. And then I see Mawlana Ahsan's name there. Mawlana Ahsan's not that old, I thought to myself. And then I couldn't interview him in time. And so hopefully this program, inshallah, may Allah allow us, you know, efforts to be accepted. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll continue.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Alpha Bodyworks Collision Repair Center and Alpha Express Auto, leaders in collision repairs to all types of vehicles, backed by all major insurers and vehicle manufacturers, including VW, Audi and Toyota. Using the latest technology and decades of industry experience, we at Alpha Bodyworks are renowned for quality and excellent service. Not insured? We offer special rates for all non-insured clients with 21 courtesy vehicles and a 24-hour recovery service. Trust Alpha Bodyworks to bring you peace of mind. Contact Alpha Bodyworks today. Call 021-691-9333 or 5 or visit www.alphabodyworks.co.za. Alpha Bodyworks Collision Repair Center, steps above the rest.
As we prepare to enjoy Eid al-Adha with our loved ones, let us spare a thought for our starving brothers and sisters around the world. You can help make their Eid a memorable one from as little as 650 rand. You can choose to offer your qurbani in any of the 40 countries that Muslim Hand supports, including Mali, Somalia, Niger, as well as Syria, Kashmir and Palestine. And for only 1,950 rand, you can choose to give your qurbani locally in South Africa. Call Muslim Hands today on 021-633-6413 or visit muslimhands.org.za. Muslim Hands, united for the needy.
It's exam time again. With three teenagers, that used to mean late night cramming sessions and very stressed out kids. Not anymore, thanks to Memorex. This all natural supplement helps reduce mental fatigue and stress and helps my kids concentrate for longer. And when it's time to write, Memorex improves their memory retention and recall. Exam time equals Memorex time. Memorex, the X factor in memory reboot. Visit memorex.co.za.
Available at leading pharmacies and health shops.
My radio station, your radio station, our radio station. 91.3 FM and 95.8 FM stereo.
So, to Al-Fiat.
Voice of the Millennials. With Yasin Kipi. Igniting the youth.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Voice of the Millennials with myself, Yasin Kipi. We are making a tribute to Mawlana Ahsan Hendrix, who passed away last week, and of course, an inspiration for all the youth, both those who were born in South Africa, those are coming in, such as our brother Arham from Malaysia. And of course, we know Malina as very many different things, but for some people, he was primarily a Palestinian activist, and that's what took him to Palestine and various other places of the world, inspiring people to get behind the Palestinian cause. And of course, one such person who lived in Cape Town and is currently in Palestine, and we're connecting, you know, straight to Palestine, alhamdulillah, and that is Basil Akbari. Assalamu alaikum, Basil.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh to you and all the listeners of the Voice of the Cape.
It must have been quite sad for you to hear the news, not in Cape Town, and hearing this news about someone who you're so close with.
Well, indeed, losing a man in the caliber of Maulana Ihsan Hendrix was very sad news. In fact, I was in contact all the time with the people close to Maulana Ihsan, being updated about his health. I even asked some of the doctors locally about his condition, as myself being a pharmacist, which understand the condition that Maulana was going through. We heard the news that he was healing, he was getting better, and I was already discussing about me flying to Cape Town to see Maulana, but Allah knows best. It happened suddenly, actually at the moment that Maulana decided to go home because he was getting better, that same day he passed away. So that is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's sad news for me as a Palestinian, for me as being I consider myself a student of Maulana Ihsan Hendrix. I was very close to him, but everybody, every Palestinian, I would guess also every Kryptonian, every person that got to know Maulana Ihsan personally or professionally, was saddened by the news of passing away of Maulana Ihsan.
Tell us about your story with him, when you met him, and the various experiences that you had with him.
Actually, the first time I saw Maulana Ihsan was in my city, Umm al-Fahim. There was al-Mahrajan, al-Aqsa fi Qatar, which Sheikh Raed Salah has invited the Muslim Judicial Council personally to attend the Mahrajan. So the first Mahrajan that Maulana and a delegation from South Africa have attended in the 1948 areas, especially in Umm al-Fahim. I was 15 at that time, and I was sitting right in front in the rally. It was in a stadium, and I was sitting in the grass in the front. And I remember this South African man who would get into the stage, and he spoke such an eloquent and perfect Arabic and gave a short message, but was so powerful that moved the whole crowd. And I remember the words he uttered on that day. He said, Al-Aqsa laysa wahida, Al-Aqsa laysa wahida, which means Al-Aqsa is not alone. And it kind of wanted me to learn more about the people of South Africa, the Muslims of South Africa. This person that came all the way from South Africa, and he said, the South African community is with you and Al-Aqsa is not alone. I did not know that 3 years later, after I finished my matric, that I would be meeting Maulana Ihsan personally for the first time when he welcomed us on the shores of Cape Town. And his eloquence in Arabic, his presence. I remember the first day when he welcomed us, he asked us, we were students, and he asked us, do we have any hobbies, any sports that we would play, anything that he would make possible for us to feel at home. So from the first day, Maulana made sure that Cape Town became a home for us as students.
Absolutely. I mean, just that connection also with Maulana and Sheikh Raed Salah. I mean, the only time that I've ever heard Sheikh Raed Salah, and I was younger, was from Maulana Hassan himself, you know, to the public. And I think so many South African Muslims have heard the name now of Sheikh Raed Salah from Maulana Hassan. Tell us about the impact that he's had within the, you know, Palestinian community where you are at.
In fact, the relationship that formed through the years between Maulana Ihsan and Sheikh Raed Salah is a very interesting one. Maulana Ihsan always told me that the reference for me in Palestine, the whole of Palestine, is Sheikh Raed Salah, which means if he wanted to consult anybody about any matters or about any person within the Palestinian territory, Maulana Ihsan always contacted Sheikh Raed Salah and asked his opinion. And the same way, if Sheikh Raed Salah wanted to have any matters regarding South Africa, Maulana Hassan Hendricks became the contact and the reference to the people. But the interesting thing that when Maulana Hassan made the visit, which many people make, but the interesting thing about Maulana Hassan, that he traveled on a purpose. When he saw the need of Masjid Al-Aqsa Mubarak, for example, the need in the city of Jerusalem, he looked at the projects that Sheikh Raed Salah has already established, for example, Women for Al-Aqsa, Children for Al-Aqsa, and he, Maulana Hassan, saw the example and the model that Sheikh Raed Salah was working on, and he said, Sheikh, I want to do these things in South Africa. So today we have Women in Defense of Al-Aqsa in Cape Town in South Africa. We had so many programs and so many years. We had the program of Children for Al-Aqsa. And when one of the meetings, Maulana was sitting with the Sheikh Raed Salah, and he said, Sheikh Raed, give me some of your students. I want them to study in Cape Town. I want them to learn English. I want them to experience the South African community, the Cape Townian community. I want them to learn about the apartheid regime in South Africa. So through these commitments, through his devotion, Maulana Hassan Hendricks has established this deep connection between Palestine and Masjid Al-Aqsa Mubarak. And again, this is an example of a man when he promised something, when he talked about things, he really committed himself to it, and he made sure it became successful.
What is the message that you have for the youth of South Africa, the Muslims and the non-Muslims here as well, that we should, how should we continue the legacy of Maulana Hassan?
SubhanAllah, Maulana, when I think of Maulana, I think of a giant, really. I think of a man, he has so many attributes in him. His kind of confidence and his language, like he mastered five languages, whichever language Maulana Hassan spoke in, he just sounded like this eloquent man, really. He had hold and grip of every language, and so many years and so many conferences, when Maulana spoke in the biggest of conferences, when there's the biggest sheikhs in the world, and Maulana stood in front of them and he gave his speech in Arabic, he always shocked people. I remember the day Maulana was in one of the conferences, and he came back and he told me this one man at the beginning of the conference was telling Maulana, like, about his surname, like, this name Hendricks, it sounds foreign, it doesn't sound Arabic, like his name is Hassan, but the surname is Hendricks. Mm. And Maulana, obviously proud of his name, and this man didn't understand the background of Maulana, didn't feel, you know, at ease when this man mentioned Maulana's surname in this way. But when Maulana delivered his speech in Arabic, after the speech, this man came and he said, you know what, Maulana Hassan, I apologize to you. You more worthy of the Arabic language than us. Mm. So this is a man that who studied, he went to India in Lucknow and studied under a man, Abu Hassan al-Nadawi, which also wrote a book in Arabic without leaving India. And when he traveled with this book, the book name is Mada Khasir al-Alam bin Hitat al-Muslimin, what has the world lost by the downgrade of the Muslims, the top sheikhs at that time, including Sayyid Qutb and Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi and others, when they read the book, they were shocked that the man from India wrote this book without leaving India. And Maulana Hassan Hendricks had the same impact on Arab and Muslim world all the time. And he always had a message for the Arab world, and that is that the issue of Masjid Al-Aqsa Mubarak, the issue of Palestine in itself, is not an Arab issue, but it's an Islamic issue. So each and every Muslim around the world has a responsibility towards it. And Maulana was this person that was not only going to say it in his words, but he showed it to them. So whenever there were conferences, there were ever way activities, Maulana was always consulted. Maulana's help was always needed. So Maulana actually put the kind of the Islamic principle of the issue of Masjid Al-Aqsa Mubarak and Palestine internationally. So I say to the youth in South Africa and in Cape Town that we should all continue on the legacy of Maulana Hassan. We know this is a huge man, probably left a big gap. The mothers, the orphans, the many people that Maulana Hassan has helped, Masjid Al-Aqsa Mubarak, they will feel the lack and the absence of Maulana Hassan Hendricks. But I think it shouldn't. The story of Maulana Hassan Hendricks should inspire each and every one of us to do the little bit of things that we actually can do and be able to bring this message forth that the issue of Majd Al-Aqsa Mubarak does not only is the responsibility of the Arabs or the Palestinians alone, but the Muslims around the whole world.
Thank you so much, Basil. That was really excellent. And wish you all the best in the future, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Of course, that was Basil Akbaria, a student who was in Cape Town studying pharmacy here and close to Munna Ihsan Hendricks from all the way from Palestine. There we connected with him. It was really amazing, the Palestinian message that he spoke about. But we also want to reflect on a lot more that Mawlana Hassan was, isn't it so, Mohammed?
Yeah. Look, having listened to Basil now...
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Invest up to 33,000 Rand per year in a tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. Invest in flagship and award-winning unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 0800-000-274 or visit 274.com. 27-4 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider. We live investments.
Join the Voice of the Cape and Get Smart pre-Eid al-Adha pop-up market on Sunday the 19th of August between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Bring along your family and friends and join us live at the Witbooma Civic Center. That's the Voice of the Cape and Get Smart pre-Eid al-Adha pop-up market this Sunday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. See you there.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM.
So, to Al-Fiat.
Voice of the Millennials. With Yasin Kipi.
Igniting the youth.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome back to the Voice of the Millennials. And of course, we were talking to Basil Akbaria, Mohammed Mawlana Hassan is known worldwide for this Palestinian cause, but there's a reason and intention behind why we're so, active with regards to that. And it was a lot more than that.
Yeah, you know, sure. Having listened to Basil, and I must firstly say, subhanAllah, I don't think we will ever begin to imagine what a great impact Mawlana Hassan had made internationally, but also locally in South Africa. I don't think that we appreciate enough the work that Mawlana Hassan has done. And I say that with due respect to everybody. Lots of people often question and say that Mawlana Hassan focused solely on the Palestinian issue. But I want to say to those people that I believe that Mawlana Hassan did all of us a favor. A favor in the sense that Palestine, in Mawlana Hassan's own words, it's never been a charity case. It's never just been about giving money. It's never just been about shouting angry Allahu Akbars and sloganeering in the streets. Mawlana was a very practical person. Mawlana, he had purpose. When he walked with purpose. When he spoke with purpose. And he followed it up with action. And what Mawlana was teaching us was that Palestine wasn't a cause that was a foreign cause. It wasn't a cause that was only for the Palestinian people. But what Mawlana taught us was that as South Africans and as Cape Townians, Palestine is something that is our responsibility. So in essence, what Mawlana was doing was that Mawlana was bringing it home. And Mawlana was teaching us that this is something, the Palestinian cause, which should be part of our daily lives. So, yes, indeed, besides the Palestinian cause, Mawlana was a lot more than just a Palestinian activist. Earlier on you mentioned the Sheikh Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi Academy. And I remember very clearly, before the academy was launched, Mawlana would often speak about it and the intention behind it. Mm. And the intention was that, young people, young scholars of deen that were returning from their studies overseas, when they come into this community, there's another step that they need to take before they actually get to the to wear the mantle of leadership. And that step is to understand this community. And what Molina wanted to do was to bridge that gap between that student returning from wherever it is he was returning from, and sort of reintegrating him back into his own South African society. And inshallah, you know, I trust that the focus of the academy will always be sort of bridging that gap, as was the intention of Molina. Other than that, Brother Yasin, Molina was also a very devout family man. You know, one of the things I take away from my experience with Molina Ihsan Hendricks was that he would often quote his late father, Haji Muhammad Saleh Hendricks, who, you know, to me was, in fact, along with Molina's mother, Hajja Ruwaida Hendricks, those were the people that shaped this great hero as we came to know him. You know, I often I think to myself that whilst Molina is so unique in many ways, in a lot of other ways, having met Molina's family, you tend to realize that his uniqueness and the character of the man that he was is actually something that was shaped within his family. Mm. You know, meeting his brothers, meeting his sisters, Habibi Rashad, Nazir, Faiz, his sister Antifosia. When you sit down with him, you actually begin to realize these, you know, these are the personality that shaped the man. Mm. You know, and subhanAllah, I must say that other than the Palestinian activist, Maulana was also someone that guided us. You know, I, for example, belong to an organization which sometimes would delve into a lot of controversial discussions and issues. And many of those Maulana didn't outrightly agree with. But what I really appreciated and what I really must say was different about Maulana was that he was able to sit down with us despite those differences and share with us hours and hours and hours of wisdom. Mm. And that, you know, as someone was saying to me the other day, when Maulana spoke and you sat in Maulana's company, yeah, you didn't even want to move an inch out of fear that Maulana would stop speaking or be distracted, subhanAllah. So yes, we've really, really been very, very privileged. And if one thing, Brother Yasin, I must say to the listeners, and I say so with great pain in my heart, is that, you know, the evening I stood, the Friday evening I stood in Molina's house, and I was, my eyes was on Molina Ihsan, and, you know, so many thoughts were going through my heart, through my mind, and my heart was filled with pain. But at the same time, it was filled with guilt. You know, guilt because I don't believe personally that I've taken enough advantage of this great, great, great man whilst I had the opportunity to do so. Mm-hmm. And inshallah, as Brother Basil had said, our responsibility now is to take on what Molina has started in the same purpose and with the same practical attitude towards our work. You know, absolutely, stop the slogan hearing and let's start with the action. You know, we're not only Palestinian activists mm-hmm. when the bombs are falling, but we're Palestinian activists every single day of our lives, inshallah. Mm.
Do you want to add to that, Abdullah?
Just as Muhammad was saying of Maulana, not just being the activist, I think that is a very big statement to make, especially to our listeners out there and to the community of Cape Town. Maulana was not just a Palestinian activist. Maulana was more than that. Maulana was a family person. Maulana was a community leader. He had leadership skills. For me, even being at the tender age in his company, for a young person to actually recognize leadership from that a young age doesn't just show the capabilities that Maulana Ihsan had, but also his interaction with youth, his yeah. interaction with people, his interaction with the communities. Muhammad touched on the topic of his father, and Allah grant him both high blessing in Jannah, inshallah, and grant his mother still a long life. Mm. You know, that story that always gets to me, and I still remember Maulana saying it clearly, you know, his return from yes. India.
Yeah.
I think many people will that, always yeah. remember Maulana talking about the moment he set foot in South Africa and thought that, okay, ek is nou daai ou. Maulana would always say that. And he would take his bags to the car, and they thought that they will help him with his bags in the car. Mm. And his father would look at him and say, and then he thought that, okay, he's going to do that, but he's going to sit in front of the car. And then Maulana would say, no, his father would put him at the back in the car.
Yeah.
And this thought was a valuable lesson, not just for Maulana Ihsan, but that was the start of the humble Maulana Ihsan that we saw from there on and throughout his life.
Yeah.
You know, just the Muhammad touching on the on his sister, we stood there the morning just before the janazah at about 2 o'clock after reciting at the deathbed of Maulana. His sister was standing there and she was crying and she was saying that as much as people would see Maulana Ihsan out there as this giant, as this legend, she accompanied on various trips across the world. And she would think to herself, that very Ihsan from our household, from the Worcester area, that very Ihsan sits on platforms with Sheikh Al-Qardawi, with people of such caliber, and yet he still remains that humble Mawlana Ihsan. Yet he still remains that brother that I have. Yes, he still remains the son to his parents that he was. And also not forgetting the father that he was to his children. I having accompanied and being a colleague of Yusuf, Sheikh Yusuf, who graduated this year at Al-Azhar University and have spent 3-4 years. There was a time where we faced major difficulties in Egypt. The first person to call us back then was Mawlana Ihsan. We faced two wars, the Raba'a and the one before that. The first person to make contact with us, other than not even the embassy of South Africa within the Egyptian continent, not even anyone else, but the first contact we got was from Mawlana Ihsan, assuring that whatever you do, remember that we will be here to guide you in the right way. Remember, whatever you do, that we are here to assist you and help you in getting you out of that situation. So more than a Palestinian activist, most definitely Mawlana was much more than that to us.
Absolutely. Arham, what are some of the other lessons that you learned from Mawlana Ihsan?
Okay, Mawlana, he taught me the lesson that you must always have coexist, which is in everything that happens in this world, you must always have coexist, which is open your mind and encourage. He encouraged me to think further and he made me broad-minded, to have a broad-minded.
Yes.
This actually helped me when I helped my dad in the last general election in Malaysia.
Yes.
So that's why I said Maulana is like a great master for me. And Maulana also encouraged me to have interact with different faith and have a dialogue with different faith also. Because for Maulana, we are Muslim. We are brothers in Muslim. Because we share the same faith. But what about the other people with different faith with us? We also brother with them, but brother in human being. That's what the great Maulana is. And Maulana always, because I always ask Maulana about how to rule the country and how to be a good government and everything. And then Maulana always told me and always remind me every time, Arham, not only to be a justice, but you must also be fair for your people when you reach your dream as a leader. So this is what I remember Maulana have taught me. So that's why when Maulana gone, I'm a little bit depressed, but the memories with him remain every time in my life.
Also, you know, I saw some selfies with you and Maulana. He was very cheerful at times as well with you, isn't it?
Sorry?
He was very happy with you because I saw some selfies with you and Maulana. So it seems like you had a very close connection. Maulana was very happy with you. And as you mentioned earlier, he came down to a younger level at times, didn't
he? Yeah, because Maulana treat everyone same. There's no different level. Even the caliber, as caliber as he is, he still treat people like same level.
Yes.
That's why I can make any joke with him. So he just like he just laugh and everything. So I remember when I make like a very rough joke, but Maulana can still Maulana Maulana just laugh and everything. So that's why you see me how close I am with Maulana.
Absolutely. You want to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on what the brother said earlier on about Maulana, your interaction with Maulana. Maulana was someone that was a person of great detail. He had an amazing memory. You know, oftentimes you'd ask Maulana about something, and Maulana would always used to tell us that, you know, it's not about the answer. It's about how you arrived at the answer. Who were the personalities in and around that? Who added what the details was what always was important to Maulana. And that was amazing. You know, sometimes you'd think you'd ask him a question and it'd be a one-word answer, but Maulana would answer you for a solid hour without stopping, you know. And when Maulana's done, you'd sit there and you'd think to yourself, subhanAllah, you know, I only thought about the answer. I didn't think about how one should arrive at it. And also another thing that stood out for me, Brother Yasin, is that Maulana was always someone who was open to sharing information. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Maulana would sit us down and would discuss with us matters that, you know, at that particular time, we thought that, you know, why is Maulana sharing this? And Maulana always used to say to us that, you know, if I one day am not here anymore, then somebody needs to know this and somebody needs to carry on with whatever it is. Just to give you one example, you know, I sat with Maulana one day and Maulana was very, very happy. Mm-hmm. And happy, and at the same time, Maulana's eyes were full of tears. And Maulana was so excited. In fact, Maulana called me and said to me, you must come to my house now. I want to share something with you. And Maulana showed me this message on his phone where Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi was celebrating his birthday, a big birthday, I think his 80th birthday or something like that. And some of the students of Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi was going to write a book about his life. Mm-hmm. And Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi then sent Maulana a message and said that this was the intention of his students. However, he had instructed them and he said to them and is now instructing Maulana that such a book will never be complete unless Maulana writes a chapter of that book.
Okay.
And subhanAllah, this is something that brought great joy to Maulana's heart.
Wow, that's really amazing. We'll share some more stories and some more lessons just after this break, inshallah.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
Docking from all over the world. From the Far East, the shores of the Amazon, to the slopes of the Alps, and beyond. We've searched the four corners of the world, so you only have to explore the four corners of our showroom. Every pattern, every finish, every size, and at exceptional prices. Only at Mars Tiles. Mars Tiles. Great tiles at great prices. For more information, visit MarsTiles.com.
Shopping at Indulge Meat Hyper is like taking a juicy bite out of life. Our honesty, quality and service excellence is our promise to you, our valued customer. Indulge Meat Hyper, the meat you love to eat. Our meat is cut by hand and prepared by time-served master butchers. If you like your meat cut a certain way or have any special requirements, it's no problem at all. We'll cut to order just the way you want it, meaning you can enjoy great-tasting meat just the way you like it. Indulge Meat Hyper, the meat you love to eat. Find us inside Ottery Hypermarket.
Al Khair Tourism. Amazing Umrah packages are available in December 2018. 7 nights Medina at Nusk or Marmara, room only. 7 nights Makkah at Rawdatul Bayt, room only. 1.2 kilometers to Makkah Haram, including shuttle, quad room only, at 17,500 Rand. Speak to us about our tailor-made packages and cheaper hotels that are available on request. Contact Fahim Manuel at 021-391-9019. Al Khair Tourism, making the best of traveling.
Water pollution affects the health of people and animals. It negatively impacts on our ecosystem. Report the pollution of rivers, streams and lakes to the Department of Water and Sanitation on 0800 200 200.
My radio station, your radio station, our radio station, 91.3 FM and 95.8 FM stereo.
So, to Lelfiat,
voice of the millennials, with Yasin Kipi, igniting the youth.
Welcome back to the show, and of course into our last segment of the Voice of the Millennials tonight, and next week we'll be back, same time, same place. And of course we're still talking about Nassa and Hendrix, but how can we practically take his legacy forward? And I remember one of the, you know, hallmark moments that I have in my memory of Nassa was at a conference with Sheikh Muhammad bin Yahya Ninawi, and the title was about Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Maulana spoke and he said that some people were saying that, you know, no matter how long we speak, we'll never do justice to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And in a sense, that's true. But then Maulana said that, but we must do justice. Hmm. We must do our best to do justice to talk about Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Hmm. That was really inspirational, that sometimes we hide behind excuses that, no, we'll never live up to that, you know, person. But we have to. And we have no choice but to do so. So what are some of the practical, you know, lessons that Maulana Hassan has given us, and, you know, that you have? Let's start with you, Abdullah.
I'll start off with a quote that many of the Azharis have been sharing since the passing of Maulana Hassan, and says, "Hayhata la ya'ti al-zamana bimithlihi, inna al-zamana bimithlihi labakhilun." That far be it that a time will ever bring forth the likes of him. Time is stingy and sharing the likes of him. So the likes of Maulana Ihsan and the legacy that he has left behind, and what he has left behind, and as for us as youth, and for us as, because he was always about building the future leaders. And I think what a honor and what a privilege it is for Maulana that before he closed his eyes, he has witnessed his sons graduating from the Azhar.
Okay, for sure.
And, you know, that gift being to his father, you know, Maulana leaving this world and knowing that his son is in the path of Allah. And that was what Maulana's life was about. You know, whatever he done was for Allah's sake. Whatever was done was in accordance to that which Allah will be pleased with. And as I was discussing earlier, the lesson, and we can talk how much about the legacy of Maulana Ihsan. مَا لَذَّةُ الْعِيشِ إِلَّا صُحْبَةُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. That, you know, the sweetness of this life is really learning the gems of our scholars, and this the true message for us as youth out there, and for future leaders, is how we are able to take what we are able to do in a community such as Cape Town, how we are able to do it globally as well. You know, that type of role that you are able to be with people from unprivileged areas, that the same people that I'm able to meet there, I'm able to meet, you know, the likes of Shah al-Qardawi or the president of Turkey or these things. So shaping the minds of future leaders, I think that is very, very important, not just for us, but for everyone that is looking up at this great legend and looking up in, you know, filling, which is not really much possible to fill his shoes, but at least make that effort. And I think Brother Muhammad would elaborate further on that, inshallah.
Inshallah, yes. If I have to discuss or say anything about the legacy of Maulana Ihsan Hendricks, then there's two things really. Something that a very good scholar and very close friend of ours, Sheikh Zahir Mahmood, once said. He said that the difference between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and ourselves is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something, they believed. You know, they believed with full conviction. And Maulana Ihsan was one of those people that when he put his life or took on a cause, he believed. Mm-hmm. You know, Maulana Ihsan would often tell us about Muhammad al-Fatih, the conqueror Sultan of Constantinople. Mm-hmm. And Maulana would often mention about how when he heard the hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Constantinople will be conquered, what a leader and what a people, and how we strive to be that leader or that person that conquered Constantinople. And to me, Maulana Ihsan Hendricks was that type of person. You know, he fully believed. He inspired us. You know, he instilled within us that belief that we can become those people. It doesn't matter whether you're from Worcester, whether you're from Manenberg, whether you're from Hanover Park, or wherever it is that you're from, you know, if you truly believe, then you can achieve all these wonderful and amazing things. And then also the legacy of Maulana Ihsan continues.
Yes.
You know what I mean? With what Maulana has instilled within us, it is now our responsibility to take it further. The lessons, the many, many hours of talks, you know, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to even do a fraction of what it is that Maulana Ihsan had done. And if I can just end off with, you know, you mentioned Sayyid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu earlier on. And something that Maulana said to us, I think Brother Abdullah was present when Maulana shared this with us, was when Sayyid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said the profound words that, how is it that this deen of Islam will diminish whilst I'm alive? Mm. And Maulana Ihsan lived that.
No.
He didn't only teach us that, it's something that sticks. I think Maulana must have told us about 7-8 years ago. Maulana taught us that, and it's something that we carry with us every single day. How will we allow this deen of Islam to diminish whilst we are alive? And that was his legacy.
Arham, what do you think Maulana wants us as young people to, you know, take from his life and do practically in the future?
Okay, Brother Yasin, before I answer your question, I want to tell you a story about my brother here from Ankara Fikdaud family. His name is Uwais Dawood. He was 13 that time when Maulana put a trust on him to be a Bilal at Sulaimani Mosque. And then when the opening masjid, Masjid Khair at Mrs. Plain, I still remember that time when I helped Maulana to walk from the back to in front. There was the one guy came to Maulana. He said he want to be, he want to give azan. But Maulana said, no, we only we already prepare this young boy, Uwais Dawood, from the family to give the azan. And he's also the Bilal. And I also remember the first time my brother Uwais Dawood want to give the azan, he practiced in front of Maulana. From this story, Brother Yasin, I can conclude that Maulana believe in the ability and the power of youth to continue his legacy. How? The question is how. We can speak about the legacy where Maulana left for us, but how we can continue the legacy. The, we just need, for youth now, we need to have more tolerance to other faith, not to only Muslim, but to other faith also. And we must learn to coexist and spread the message of Allah. To be the Tawheed, to be one. What we are all one in the community. Whether you are Muslim, you are Christian, or you are other religion, we are all one. Because this is the legacy what Maulana left. That's why, if we want to continue the legacy of Maulana, we must do this. More tolerant to other faith, coexist and spread the message of Allah.
Absolutely. And we spoke about Maulana Ihsan's involvement on a global stage with the Palestinian cause and very many other causes as well. And of course, within Cape Town, his studies and various experiences of inspiring young people. But it all starts with that one father or the human being and in his family. And so I think, you know, Muhammad, if you want to mention something in closing as well regards to Maulana's family.
Yes, I want to say that, you know, Maulana has, at basically almost every time Maulana spoke, always used to make a reference to his father and his mother, and as well as his family. And I think that, you know, for all of us who was inspired by Maulana Ihsan Hendricks and who took something away in our lives that Maulana inspired us with, it is only apt that we make the effort and the intention to go and visit his dear mother, who's not very well at the moment also. And that we thank her and we say to her, you know, shukran for sharing this great personality with us, as well as his brothers and his sisters. And also in closing to say, Brother Yasin, that if there's anything that any one of us wants to do in the name of Maulana Ihsan Hendricks, in the legacy of Maulana Ihsan Hendricks, then I think it's only apt that we do consult with the family with regards to those kind of matters, because he was a very private man and he was a family man.
Absolutely. And your last words from you as well, Abdullah.
I just want to end off with saying that I remember, and just in short, 8-9 years ago when the whole debacle of the MJC had taken rife, we were about seven to eight young brothers, you know, wanting to stand up on the social platform in defense of the MJC. And the message that I would like to drive home here is that Maulana created that space and place for everyone. You know, whether we had the knowledge of how and when to do it, it didn't matter. It was more your commitment that you had placed in, you know, in the defense of the Baytul Ulama and the defense of the Ulama. So, once again, ending off, the place and space for everyone, you know, giving everyone that opportunity to be someone in this community. And I shukran for the opportunity and shukran for, once again, for the listeners for listening.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've been inspired tremendously by our guest in studio here today, Arhamar Rahmi Nasution, future minister, of course, of Malaysia, and living with Maulana Ihsan Hendricks for the past 2 years. And of course, Muhammad Shahabuddin from Legend Tours and from the ADL and from many other organizations. You'll hear lots more from him inshallah soon. And of course, Abdullah Hafiz Abdullah Sunday. Shukran to everyone. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa
rahmatullahi. Sawt al alfiyat.
Voice of the millennials. With Yasin Kipi. Igniting the youth.